Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'd like to apologize for my lateness, but I had a studio malfunction, but I hope you guys forgive me. Amen. Glory to God. So we're going to get on with this. This is your 6 of 6, and I am your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. Amen. Glory to God. I'd like to thank our producer and our first lady, Dr. Carolyn McNeil, who came to assist me once again. Oh, she's the best. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Trust in God. Trust in God. Trust in God. We have a lesson today, and the lesson is not deep or nothing like that, but I was listening to someone read this morning. We was actually having Bible study this morning, and they was reading a scripture, a particular scripture. But in the scripture, they read a particular verse, and I happened to hear it, and it stuck with me all day. It just clung to me all day. It just adapted to my spirit all day. It just clung to me, clung to me, clung to me. And the first thing that happened when I got to the studio, it was just like, this is what God wants his people to hear, and this is what God wants his people to know. Amen. So once again, I thank you all. Thank you all for coming in and tuning in on this evening. We're going to get right into prayer. Father God, we thank you for moving as swiftly as you did. We thank you for the help that you sent, God. We thank you for the use of your airwaves, the use of your wisdom and your knowledge, Father. We thank you because you're the Most High God. We thank you because we don't have to have a reason, because we should worship you and praise you, because we thank you and we need you and we desire you and we want you to know, Father, that our life is yours, God. We're putting all our trust in you. We are trusting and believing in you, no matter what it may seem like, no matter what it may feel like, no matter what it may be, God, we trust in you. And we know that you're going to pull us through. And we thank you, and we pray that prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have your sword with you this evening, your Bible, I would like for you to turn it to the book of Psalms. Amen. Glory to God. And we're going to be going to chapter 73. Amen. We're going to go right on through. We might not get through this whole lesson this evening, but we're going to get through what God allows us to get through, because I just truly know that this is a word for God's people. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the verses from 1 to 28 is an illustration. It illustrates the results of allowing one's faith in God to be buried under self-pity. Those pity parties we throw, those, oh, woe's me party. Why am nothing is going right in my life? Why is everything happening to me? When we throw those pity parties, we start allowing our faith to be buried in that self-pity. Amen. The psalmist became depressed. The author became depressed. He contrasts the seeming prosperity of the wicked with the difficulties of living a righteous life. And when we get to about verse 15, we're going to get an understanding of how he changed his attitude changed completely. And in hopes of, if we're living that way or if things like that are happening in our life, we're going to have an instrument and tools to change completely, not somewhat, but change completely. Amen. He looks at life from the perspective of being under the control of a sovereign, holy God, and concludes that it is the wicked, not the righteous, who have blundered. Because once we start reading, we're going to understand how the perplexity over the prosperity of the wicked. We're going to talk about the prosperity. We're going to talk about their pride, and we're going to talk about their presumptions. And hopefully we get through some other things that I have set up. If not, we'll continue this next week. Amen. But from the verses 7, from verses 1 through 5, talks about their prosperity. Amen. And from 6 to 9, talks about the pride. And we're going to get into that now. Amen. Because I think you pronounce it Asheville. He's the author. Asheville. He was a Levite who led one of the temple choirs. And if you ever get a chance to go to the book of Chronicles, the First Chronicles, I think it is, chapter 15, verses 19 and 25 and 1. His name is identified with Psalms 73 through 83. Also Psalms 50, amen. And we have to remember that we don't know either he wrote these psalms or his choir sang them, or later choirs in the tradition of Asher sung them, like either his choir or him, or he wrote them. But it's not a real deep issue because it's in the Bible, which means it's the word. But for those who like to study and go deeper to find out information, amen. Like I said, verses 1 through 14, the author was strongly tempted to envy the prosperity of the wicked. And I don't know about you, but there's been times when I kind of felt a little jealous of that. I felt that way because I used to try to say, well, if they're doing bad and not living for the Lord, but they got the finest cars, they always on vacation, they got nice houses, they dress nice, they seem like they don't have a care or need in the world. And I realized, because I'm looking in the fleshly and I'm looking at it out of what's in me at that moment, like I would like to have a brand new car. I would like to be able to go on vacations, and I would like to have a big house and a summer home and a beach home. You know what I mean? So there's sometimes we get caught up in things. Amen. But the author was strongly tempted to envy the prosperity of the wicked, and a common temptation which has tried the grace of many saints, even if they don't admit it. Amen. But as he laid down the great principles by which he resolved this problem, it is the goodness of God. This is a truth which cannot be shaking. Good thoughts of God will fortify against Satan's temptations. Hear what I just said. Good thoughts of God will fortify against Satan's temptations. The faith even of strong believers may be sorely shaken at times and ready to fail. There are storms that will try the firmest anchors. It will try to shake you, pull your anchor out. Wherever it's anchored, if you're anchored in your word and you've been anchored in your prayer life and you've been anchored in something, the enemy will try to come along and shake that. Do you understand what I'm saying? But foolish and wicked people have sometimes a great share of outward prosperity. Hear what God is saying. They sometimes have a great share of outward prosperity. They seem to have the least share of troubles in their life, and they seem to have the greatest share of comforts and income and things. They live without the fear of God, yet they prosper and get on in the world. Wicked men often spend their lives without much sickness and end them without great pain, while many godly people scarcely know what health is and die with great sufferings. Often the wicked are not frightened either by the remembrance of their sins or the prospect of their misery. Hear this, get this, but they die without terror, and we cannot judge men's state beyond death. But what passes at their death, he looked abroad and saw many of God's people greatly at a loss, because the wicked are so very daring. Therefore, his people return hither. They know not what to say to it, and they because the wicked are so very daring, and they turn to affliction. And the author spoke freely when he spoke of his own troubles. There's no disputing against sense except by faith. From all this arose a strong temptation to cast off religion. But let us learn that the true course of sanctification consists cleansing a man from all pollution, both of soul and body. The heart is cleansed by the blood of Christ. He laid hold upon by faith and by the, the begun works, the beginning works, the first works of the Lord's Spirit manifest in the heart's resolution, its purpose, and study of holiness, and a blameless course of life and actions. The hands are cleansed. It is not in vain to serve God and keep his ordinance. Now, that was some information that I wanted to share to set an abstract or background to what the word is saying. Chapter 73, we're going to be in. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Amen. Now, the beginning is abrupt and sufficiently intimate that he had a great conflict within himself about this matter, about the wicked prospering, about the wicked look like they're prospering, about the wicked look like they like prosperity is always over them, always in them. And here I am serving the Lord, doing everything I can, and it seems like I'm always suffering, I'm always lack. That's a trick of the enemy. Listen, if you be honest with yourself, and if you ever felt like that, I'm going to do what I can do to help you and I to understand it's just a trick. Amen. Because if all things be considered, it is most certain and another day will be made manifest that God is really and super, super, hear what I'm saying? He is super, latency good. He is very good, outstanding, wonderful, and most kind and bountiful and a true friend to them. Now listen, and that they are most happy in him and have no reason to, no reason to envy sinners because their presence and seemly facility is not going to last. Amen. To such as are of a clean heart, to all true Israelites who love God with their whole heart and serve him in spirit and in truth, uprighteousness. Amen. Now, what is he talking about? So I got to have scripture to back that up. So if you go with me to the book of John, chapter 4:23. What does the Bible say about the situation? The Bible says, but the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. No matter what else is going on, we have to continue to worship God. He is expecting us to be his worshipers. We're spending too much time watching what the world is doing and what the world have, and we're not focusing on the things of Christ. We're not focusing on worshiping and praising him. We're not even focusing on him waking us up this morning. We're not even focusing on thanking him for giving us our health and strength this morning. We're just focusing on what we see somebody else have that we think it should not have, because they are not worshipers, they are not followers of the kingdom of God. They are not followers of God. And I am giving all of me. I am serving in church for 20 years. I've been on the choir for 90 years. I've been a deacon for 50 years. And I've been doing everything. How is they doing better than me? That's a mind state. That's a state of mind. Amen. That's a state of mind. Hallelujah. Because when I look at the book of Romans, chapter 2, 28 and 29, it says, for he is not a Jew, which is what? One outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, and not of the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. Stop worrying about they stuff, pray all my, that's how a lot of people get caught up, because He got that fine Cadillac up the street, that big house, and before he knows you hanging down his house, and you don't even know it, but you're giving him praise. Every time you see him, you're talking about that big Cadillac. Boy, that thing is nice. Boy, used to seats is heated up in there, and there's the way it turned. It got cruise control. You don't even hear it running. Before you know it, you're down there giving his car praise. You're giving him praise for having a car. You done took God out the situation. So what God is saying, it's a clause that limits the former and takes of a great part of the force of the objection, even all that concerns the claimant, which is us, which befell the profane or false-hearted Israelites, which were vastly the greatest number of those people. Amen. So when we get into this Psalms, the first thing we must note is that it is attributed to Asaph. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. Asaph. Because many noted scholars believe it is to be written by David to Asaph for him to sing, as we have concluded in many of other studies. And I hope we don't get caught up in it, but it is not that important to know who the penman person was, who wrote, who sang. It is not that important. It's just for us to receive the message in it. It goes back to don't stop looking at the messenger and listen to the message. Amen? Because you're not going to get no argument from anybody on the fact that God has been overly good to the physical house of Israel. Amen. And if you study on your study time in the book of Exodus, you'll get an understanding how God forgave them over and over for their sins against him. He forgave them over and over. And as we said before, God is more interested in the condition of our heart than he is and your actions. We are what our heart is. Amen. Get that. We are what our heart is. Hallelujah. What is in your heart? Is wickedness in your heart? Is revenge in your heart? Is denial in your heart? Is greed in your heart? Is I'll never forgive them in your heart? Is anger in your heart? Lust in your heart? Deception? Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to shoot right over to Psalms 14 just to prove a little point. Amen. Glory to God. I'm not because I just want to. I'm just going to go to verse 1 because I want to get an understanding of these people that we are so busy praising and watching and thinking they're better than we are. Because the Bible say only fools say in their heart there is no God. And most of the time, that's what they say. Amen. They are corrupt. Actions are evil. And not one of them does good. So there's no reason to be envious or jealous of what they have. The Bible just told us only fools say in their heart there is no, because most of them don't believe in God. Most of them say, I ain't no God. Amen. Hallelujah. We got to get to the point of understanding who God is, who God is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Verse 2, chapter 73, verse 2. The author doubted God's goodness and righteousness on account of the prosperity of the wicked. That's the only reason he doubted it. Because of the account of the prosperity of the wicked, he feels now that his doubt had been a sin and had almost caused him to give up. Amen. It almost caused him to give up his confidence and trust in God. He had almost slipped from the rock of faith into the abyss of schism. You know how you just, that dark, dark place, schism. That dark, dark three say, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. The atheist that we just read about in Psalms 14:1, who denied the creation as a Rama, the wicked, as after explained as all wicked men are, how wise whatsoever they may be in things natural and civil, yet in religious things and things of a spiritual nature, they have no understanding. They are proud boasters, glorying themselves, boosting themselves up, lifting their chest out, saying how good they look. Look what I got. I am great. I'm rich. I'm mighty. I'm more powerful than you. I don't need you. I don't need da-da-da-da-da. And in the outward attempts, as the word here uses, signifies external happiness of these, their riches, health, and ease, were envied by the author of Psalms 37. We're going to go to chapter, we'll go there real quick. Listen, it was envious. How could you be envious when you serve a most high God who owns everything? The Bible says, don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. For like grass, they soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they soon wither. I don't care how many Lexus, how many Cadillacs, how many mansions, how many swimming pool, helicopters, yachts, jets, money, land, whatever they may got. The Bible just gave us instruction for us to do what? For us to make sure that we don't worry about them or envy those because they do wrong. It's not even going to last. When I saw the wicked prosperity, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked or the peace of the wicked with an evil eye, this was the occasion of his slip. This is when he fell. This is when he slipped. This is when he began to fall. He said, this was the occasion of his slip and fall. This was the temptation he was left unto for a whole while, for a long time. For a long time. And this is the problem that I greatly fear will come upon the prosperity teachers of our day. Because if we teach that all is peaches and cream at the receive the Lord, and that you will not be sick or have any problems or have any issues or nothing, going, everything's going to be peaches and cream, everything's going to be all right, then you look at the evil people around you and they are not having problems. It gets you confused. We might say, wait a minute. Did you not teach that these were blessings for those who know and love God? Sometimes the wicked prosper greatly and are in great health in this world. But you can easily see how that would confuse a newcomer or a new believer or another person who don't know God like you, that could confuse them. Amen. And another problem a believer has is when they get sick, they begin to believe their souls is lost. The Bible says, in this life, you will have tribulation. As also says, tribulations come to make you strong. Trials, tests come to make us strong. I know I'm going to find it just to make sure, because I don't want nobody saying that I just made something up. Amen. Glory to God. So I'm going to go to the book of Timothy, around 2 Timothy. Yes, praise God. 2 Timothy. I'm going to find 2 Timothy 12. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because I don't want nobody thinking I'm just making stuff up. Because I love God and I love his word. And I'm trying to learn it to keep it. Because when I keep it, I can use it. I can't use something I ain't got. Hallelujah. You can't use it if you ain't got it. You don't have that weapon, you can't use it. You don't have that sword, you go outside and don't have it. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. I think that's what it is. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, we shall also deny us. Amen. Amen. That's what the word said. Amen. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he shall also deny us. Amen. Okay, so let me give you another scripture along those lines, because that might not be convincing. I know some of y'all are scholars. Yeah, I know that one, but I know we all need convincing, but we shouldn't, because God's word is what it is. Amen. Glory to God, the truth. Hallelujah. Go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 17. Hallelujah. It says, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, and that we may be also glorified together. So when the suffering comes and when the trials and tribulations come, the word just told us we're going to do it, but we're doing it with Christ. He got us. He got our backs. You may trip. You may stumble. I was walking today, wasn't paying attention, and I tripped. So what happened? If you're not paying attention, you're going to trip. If you're not in your word, if you're not fasting, if you're not praying, if you're not fellowshipping one with another to somebody, if you're not seeking God for instructions, you just might trip. But we don't want that trip to lead into a fall. Amen. The Bible is good. It's the best weapon that we can have. That information, those little words and slogans and sayings and prayers and psalms and those red words that Jesus is speaking, they all have life for the righteous. They have life for the believer. That is our lifeline. That is the blood that runs through our spiritual mind. That is our spiritual blood running through our spiritual veins. It's a lifesaver. I don't know about you. I need it. I need it. We must not convert or be delirious of things that the wicked people have. And I don't want to like to use the word wicked, but that's what the word says. We should not be envious of them, jealous of them, none of that. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 4 says, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. No bands in their death. The wicked seem to go through life in good health and then die a painless death. Truly, there is no rejoicing in their death, because they do not inherit eternal life. Ooh, but we're in position to inherit eternal life. See, we ain't going to have to worry about pain and suffering and all the nagging and the burning of our soul and spirit and our flesh forever and ever. We're going to be and rejoicing with God, praising God each and every day, just whoo, holy, holy, holy. That's why I'm only speaking for me. I'm trying to get it right. No man knows the hour, the day, time, minute, second that God is coming back. I want to be amongst the number. I'm just trying to put myself in a position to be right with Christ. To say, my son, you did good. I can, you rock with me. You roll with me. I got you. I just got to hold on to the altar. I got to hold on to the hem of his garment. Well done, my right son. Well done. Those words mean something to me. You know, when your mom and your father, you came home with that report card, and they just, my son, they had that proud look, and they hugged you, and they told you how great they felt for you, and how they was just proud of you. I want my father to be proud of me. I want my lifestyle to be my evidence that I'm doing what you say. I don't need nobody. I don't need to say, yeah, you see what I'm doing? You see how I was doing? No, I need my lifestyle to show that to God, to show that to his people. I need that. My lifestyle has to be observed by Christ. I want him to test me, trial me. I want that. I want that. Because I can see my growth. I can see what areas I need to grow in. Because I know he loves me. because a parent chastised those that he loved. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 5, they are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men, either of body or mind, as the saints are, who through many tribulations enter the kingdom, or are not in labor, do not labor for food and raiment, or get their bread by the sweat of their brow, as poor men do, nor are they weary. So Arama, neither are they plagued like other men, smitten of God, corrected and chastened by him is his children. The rod of God is not upon them. Hallelujah. I'm going, listen, I know, I hear you. Where did you get that from? I got it from the word. And I got scripture to back it up, because I am trying to make sure it stay within me. I need this word to be working in me like I'm hoping it's working in you. Oh, praise God. I don't know where this life is going to take me, but I know what kind of directions I'm trying to go in. Amen. I know where I'm trying to go in Christ. I'm trying to go there. Pray for me. Keep me in your righteous prayers. Don't pray that I get beat down. Don't pray that I fall backwards. Don't pray, oh, he ain't nothing. Oh, Lord, get rid. Don't pray those prayers. If you got to pray those kind of prayers, don't pray for me. I need you to pray some righteous prayers, because I'm going to pray righteous for you. The song say, you pray for me and I pray for you. We got to be careful. My wife taught me that. You got to be careful who prays for you or who you ask to pray for you. If you can walk up to a person and they don't rejoice when you're being blessed, and they're not happy for you when things is happening in your life, or they're not there when you're down, and as soon as you can feel the spirit, you don't even have to request their prayer. You better not. If you can feel that spirit and you know it ain't right, don't be doing it just to say, you know, Christian, we just quick to say, oh, just pray for me. Okay. You don't put that in the atmosphere. Somebody else heard it too. Hallelujah. The book of Job, chapter 1, and verse 9 said, their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Amen. Verse 21 and 9, their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Hallelujah. He got us. He got us. I'm going to go into a song, and then I'm going to come back, because I want to try to finish this. And I pray right now, truly I do, that we never forget who we serve, and that he deserves all the honor, and he deserves our worship and praise daily. All of us should be hailing the King with our prayers and worship. Amen.
Hallelujah, come on, worship the King. Hallelujah. Come on, worship the King. Hallelujah. The King of glory is here. Bless him.
Oh. the highest. Glory in the highest. Glory in the highest. Glory in the highest. We exalt your name, Lord Jesus. We exalt your name, Lord Jesus. We exalt your name.
MCI Ministry Radio wants to remind you that on Sunday mornings we have Apostle Callan McNeil of Mount Carmel International Church services at 9 a.m. where the Holy Spirit moves into your life. Amen. Glory to God. Monday we have Pastor McNeil with your Fix It Six, where if God is in it, the fix is in. Amen. Glory to God. On Tuesday we have Bishop Thurman Butler of Undisputed Truth. Amen. If it's the word, it's the truth. Amen. If it's in the Bible, it's the truth. Amen. And if it's of God, it's the truth. Amen. And before you get wore down, on Wednesday, we have Lady T with our weekly word workout. Amen. The Undisputed Truth Ministries also. Amen. Where God is always the champion. Amen. Friday, we have Pastor McNeil with our Fresh Fire Friday. And we are working on some new things, amen, for Thursday and Saturday. Amen. Glory to God. Our email address, if you would like to email us, is mc2621@yahoo.com. If you have any questions, if you have prayer requests, if you have any song requests, if you'd like to hear a certain song or a certain artist, or if you just want to reach out and just tell us if the shows have been anything to you, what have they done for you, if anything, amen. And with any kind of other information you would like to have, amen, glory to God, we are here to serve you. These messages are coming from MCI Ministry Radio, and God bless. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to try to continue our lesson. Amen. Glory to God, which I doubt if we finish, but I just, if you allow me to just break down one more verse a little bit and we'll continue this. Please take notes because we're going to continue this next week. We're going to come back to this next week. Amen. Because I think this is some vital, vital food for thought. Amen. Glory to God. Verse 6 says, therefore, pride compasses them about as a chain. Violence covers them as a garment, which was the sin of the devils and of our first parents and of Sodom, and is the sin of the Antichrist, and which of all sins is most hateful to God. This arises from the least is increased by outward prosperity. Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked pride and fulfilledness of bread went together in Sodom. And where it is predominant, hear me out now, where it is predominant, it binds as a chain. Such who are under the power of it are slaves unto it. They are chained and fettered by it, and it possesses them wholly. It shows itself in the several members of their bodies, in their eyes and feet, their walk and their gait and their conduct and behavior, and in several actions of their lives. It is rightly called the pride of life, or rather they bend it, and in their conduct and behavior and in other things, they bend it about themselves as a chain, fancying it to be an ornament to them. What sets them off and makes them look great in the eyes of others? Whereas the reverse is what is of great price and in high esteem with God and good men, namely the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Violence covers them as a garment. Wicked men that are prosperous and proud are generally oppressive to others and are very often open in their acts of violence, which are openly done and to be seen of all men as the clothes upon their backs. And frequently the clothes they wear are got by plunder and oppression, so that they may properly be called garments of violence. I'm going to, you don't have to go there with me. I'm going to go to the book of Isaiah. You can write the scripture now, chapter 59, verse 6. And I'm going to read from the King James Version first, which says, their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. Amen. And I'm going to read the same scripture, same verse from the NLT version of the Bible, which says, all their activity is filled with sin, and violence is their trademark. You don't have to envy them. Hallelujah. You don't have to envy them. Hallelujah. They have a false sense of security because they are not having troubles. Statistics show that people come to the Lord when they are in what? Trouble. They may be dressed in fine clothes and live in big houses and drive shiny new cars and big motorcycles or whatever they may drive, but that does not mean that they're in right standings with God. In fact, it might mean the opposite, because Christians, we are supposed to be separate people. We are not to be like the world. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop that here. That's verse 6. When we stop next week, if it's God's will, we'll continue to verse 7, where their eyes stand out with what? Fatness. They have more than heart could wish for. Amen. We're going to close in prayer. We're going to have a song. But I just want to really thank you. Thank you for the support of the ministry. Thank you for really coming and being a part of what God is putting together with MCI Ministry Radio. I really want to thank First Lady, who does so much behind the scenes. I can't say it enough. It's the truth. And what's the truth is the truth. This truth shall make you free. And I want to be free. But I thank you. I really honor you and thank you for what you do for the building of this ministry. And I know this is just the beginning. So if you're in Asia, Africa, Japan, China, Istanbul, the coconut groves, I don't care where you may be at, God will find you if you allow him to. Open your hearts and open your minds to receive the word of God. We're here to serve you. We're here to be obedient to the Most High God. Tune in. We'll do our best to do what God is telling us to do, which is to serve. Father, we thank you for what you allowed us to do today. We thank you for trusting us with your assignments. We thank you for trusting us with your word. And Father, we pray that it fell on fertile ground, that it did not fall to a wasteland, God, in the name of Jesus. God, we just thank you. And we ask you to heal those that are suffering on today. Heal those who are suffering in their minds and suffering in their bodies. Those who might have lost trust, those who might have lost sight of you, those who might have turned left when they should have turned right and turned right when they should have turned left. Father, redirect their path. Touch them with your goodness. Let your grace fall upon them. Lift up the spirits of those that are meek right now, those who feel low on themselves right now. Remind them why they are great. Remind them who you are and your greatness in their lives. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding, but in all your ways trust in him. He will direct our path. Trust God. I promise you. I promise you. I promise you. Let him bring you home. You don't have to stay in the dark place. You don't have to stay in the wilderness. And you don't have to walk around and around and around and around. It don't have to take you 40 years. Just trust God. Repent with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross and he rose on the third day. He went down in hell, beat Satan down, took the keys, came back, ascended up to heaven. You can rejoice right now with your soul. You can link up with Christ right now. It's about the souls. No one shall be left behind. No one. We trust and believe that God has heard our prayers, and he will touch those who need to be touched and those who desire to be touched by him. We have said this prayer in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Hallelujah. I want to apologize once again. We're having technical difficulties, and the devil's always busy, but the words are in our heart. Father, we need more you. We got to have more you. Without you, Father, we're nothing, and we desire more of you. We want more of you. So if you keep that in your heart and you speak that into your life, you'll get all of God that he'll give to you, that you seek. He will hold nothing back from us that's not good. Amen.
If you would like a word that you may have missed, be it from Sunday morning service or Monday's Your Fix at 6 or the Undisputed Truth on Tuesday or weekly workout on Wednesday, if you missed any episode or any show, email us. We'll give you the link to go, and you'll get all the past shows. We have all the past shows available, all the past lessons, all the past praise and worship services. Whatever we have is available still. Email us, mci2621@yahoo.com. We have the information for you. We have the word of God for you. We just want you to know that God loves you. We love you, and trust and believe we're going to serve you as long as God tells us to, and that's a lifetime. So with that being said, we all have a good night and be blessed in Jesus' name. You know, I just don't want to sell my people short. I can't sell God's people short. I got to find something to make sure they just have a moment of rejoicing. One more time, I'm going to try it again.
Listen, wherever you're sitting at right now, I just need you to go down memory lane just one good time. And I need you to think, when was the first time you ever felt the Holy Ghost? That crazy feeling that you get in your spine might be the reason for the tears in your eyes. It got you moving like never before. It's got you laying face down on the floor. So don't let nobody tell you that it ain't true. When you feel sweet presence rushing over you, I call it
that damn struggle, Holy Ghost.
Oh yeah.
That damn struggle, Holy Ghost.
Oh,
that damn struggle, Holy Ghost.
Yes it is, yeah. It used to be done. So don't let nobody tell you that it ain't true. When you feel your sweet presence rushing over you, they were all on one accord and they began to speak in other tongues. And then the wind came and it filled the house where they were sitting.
Have a blessed night.